Are you looking forward to that? Amen. Thank you, Pat. That was a beautiful song. Let me talk to these people a minute. Are you looking forward to that? Do we need to vote on it? You know, we're all going to see him face to face. And we're going to be either exploding with joy or we're going to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. Did you bring your Bible with you this morning? Let me see your Bible. Awesome. Look at those Bibles. All right. Now, you folks that are sitting nearby somebody that's got a Bible that looks like this, you might want to just help them out and make sure they're on the right page. I was going to stand out front this morning and just see if people had their Bibles when they were coming in, but I didn't want to scare anybody, so I didn't. We've been talking about what it means to be a disciple, what it looks like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. What are the characteristics? What is a true follower of Jesus Christ like? So this morning for part 23, we're going to talk about one particular thing about what a disciple is like. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, don't touch nothing, Ron. Let me begin again. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave his personal definition, and I think that's probably going to be good enough. If Jesus gave his personal definition of what eternal life is, we ought to pay attention to that. Eternal life is knowing God. That's pretty big. How many people here know God? Sweet. Put your hand down. Knowing God. God, that's it. It isn't going to get any better than that. That's what it's all about. How are we going to know him? The way that he's revealed himself to us. If you don't know this, can you say you know him? The majority of Christians in America couldn't quote Psalm 23 or really tell you what it says. The majority of Christians in America couldn't find the Christmas story in the Bible. The majority of Christians in America couldn't quote three verses out of the whole Bible. Now, I know whoever put that together didn't survey this church. Right? The average Christian doesn't know the books of the Bible. The average Christian doesn't know how many books are in the Bible. The average Christian doesn't know what the Bible says about marriage, about missions, or about money. And a whole bunch of other things. How about you? I want to deal with three questions in the few minutes that we have. Why is it that we don't know the Bible any better than we do? Why is it important that we would know the Bible better than we do? And how to know the Bible better than we do? Fair enough? So when I go through question one, question two, question three, you'll know we're almost done. Two amens to that. All right. Why is it that so many Christians don't know God's Word? I'm just going to just pop up a few reasons, and if you want one of them, you can have it. Unbelief. Unbelief. People, some people are deceived. And they think they have eternal life, but they don't. They're deceived. You don't like that one, do you? Okay, let's try the next one. Some people say they don't need the Bible. We don't need it. I'm fine the way I am. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't need what it says in the Bible. I'm fine. I'm okay. It looks like you don't like that one either. Here's one I hear sometimes. Some people don't think they can understand the Bible or learn the Bible. And they say, I don't read much. I don't read well. I don't like to read. Are we getting nearer to home at all? We're running out. We only got two more after this one. Some people don't think they can get it, so they don't try to know it, to know what's in the Bible. How about some people are lazy? Some people don't want to work at it. You know, some people work really hard so they can get money to spend it on whatever, electronics, sports, food, whatever. Some people really work hard to get the things that they want. But the Bible, not so much. I don't want to work that hard. That would be really hard to know the Bible better than I do. And then this last one. Some people don't see the importance of knowing what God says. Why do I need to know it? Some people don't see the importance of knowing God's word. All right, so let's just look at a few reasons. Number two. He's already on number two and there's only 3 points? Wow. Number two. Why should a disciple know God's word? Would you turn back in your Bible? Oh, my goodness, I'm already there. Hosea. Can you find Hosea? As soon as everyone's found Hosea, I'll start again, and I'll finish up in the last couple of minutes here. Now, you can find Hosea. It's in the Old Testament. You get your Psalms and Proverbs, and then you get your major prophets, and then you get a whole bunch of minor prophets, and he's right in there on page 1318. Did that help? No, it didn't help. Hosea chapter 4. Hey, if you need to look in the front of your Bible and find out where it is, I have no problem with that. We're gonna just grow into knowing where they are. Hosea chapter 4. We're going to look at the first 6 verses of this chapter and thinking about why should a disciple know God's word. Now, is the answer up there yet? I hope not. Is the answer up there yet? It is. Okay, so I'll give it to you. To avoid destruction. Whoa, we're going to need to know God's word to avoid destruction. Let's see what Hosea says here. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. He's not talking about America here, is he? Well, maybe we can make an application there. No faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge, let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I'll destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Underline that part. Because you have rejected knowledge. Underline that part. I also reject you as my priests because you have ignored the law of your God. I also will ignore your children. He starts off with, hear the word of the Lord. 32 times in the Old Testament. Hear the word of the Lord. These people that he was speaking to were in deep trouble because they had not heard the word of the Lord. Verse 6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. They didn't know what God says. They have rejected knowledge in the same verse. They pushed it away and they said, we're too busy. We'd rather go swimming. We don't have time for that. We're not going to work that hard. We're not going to open our Bible. We don't care about the word of God. We don't need it. We don't want it. Shame on us if that's where we ever get. That we wouldn't want God's word. We wouldn't want to know what it says. These people were headed for destruction. And almost every Sunday we get up here and pray for America, pray for the leaders of our country. They can't even settle their trivial arguments about finances. Stop spending, stop taxing, spend some more, tax some more, blah, blah, blah. But America and its leaders, and led by its leaders, are going downhill fast because they don't give two hoots about God and his word. And we need to continue to pray for them, but we need to tell them as well what the problem is. They don't care about God or his word. So, you want to avoid destruction? Know what's in the Bible. Number two, to gain wisdom. I'm sure you can find Proverbs just back up about 100 pages. Right after Psalms, you come to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. To gain wisdom. Anybody here doesn't want to be wise? You know, we teach about Solomon, and Solomon was wrote some of the Old Testament here in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and we remark about how Solomon, the one thing that he asked for God was for wisdom. He says, I can't lead these people. God, you're going to have to give me wisdom so I know what to do, so I know what to say to them. So, yeah, we want wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. All right, if you notice here in the NIV, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, all begin with the word for, or so that. Okay, what are Proverbs for? Verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, that's us, that's me, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Proverbs, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. See the contrast there. The beginning of gaining all this wisdom is, whoa, look at God, whoa. He is so big, he is so strong and so mighty. He is so wise, he is so sovereign, he is so powerful. God is so God-like. That's the beginning. Knowledge of his word is what we need and is found in his word. So let's get wisdom. And it goes on through the whole thing. Listen, my son. My son, listen to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen, listen, my son. Pay attention. Do this, don't do that. It's all in there. So to avoid destruction, to gain wisdom. Why else should we want to know God's word? So that we'd be changed. Oh, Pastor, you're pushing it now. I don't really want to change. No, to be transformed. Turn in the New Testament of your Bible to Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12. Those electronic Bibles are quicker. You get there real quick. You don't have to turn so many pages. Just boop, 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 and you're there. Boom. Romans chapter 12, the first verse says, therefore, because of all that he said in the first 11 chapters, therefore, I urge you, brothers, I beg with you, I plead you, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Give yourself to God and you'll really be worshiping. That's what he's saying. This is your spiritual act of worship. So verse 2, do not conform, don't be pressed into the form of the world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God's will is? Get your mind changed by knowing what's in the Bible. Be transformed. The same concept is in Ephesians 4, 22, 23, 24. Put off the old, be renewed in the attitude of your mind, and put on the new. It's the whole Christian life is about change. It's about putting off and putting on, becoming more like Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul prayed for those people that their knowledge and the depth of their understanding of what was in here would abound more and more. You don't have to have a college degree in Bible, but you can grow from where you are in your understanding of what God has said. It'll change your life, and that will be a good thing. 1, 2, 3. Number 4, we need to know God's word so that we can grow in the Lord. You're not too far from Colossians. You go from Romans through 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, probably 25 pages. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. See, God expects us to be growing in our knowledge of him. Are you growing? Some people don't like to go to Sunday school. Did you notice? Some people don't like to go to Sunday school. We have wonderful Sunday school and wonderful teachers. Some people, maybe they don't want to grow. I don't know. Maybe they don't want, the verse says, it would be worthy of the Lord. Or that we might please him by growing. 2 Peter 3 says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's exhorting believers to grow in the knowledge and the grace and the understanding of God. Who doesn't want to grow? Come on, be honest. Yeah. We need to know what's in here so that we can grow. And then, as we grow, number 5, we will become equipped. See, we can't see down the road past today. We can't see tomorrow. We can't see next fall. Don't rush it. Okay. We can't see a year, 5 years down the road. Young people, you have no idea what God's going to do in your life. you may want to go this way and he may want you to go that way. You don't have to be young to be in that situation. You may be cooking along just fine in your middle age or your old age. But God wants something different from you, and he wants to equip you to do something. I believe with all my heart that God is always preparing you and me for something down the road. Are you open to what God has for you down the road? Would you want what God has for you down the road? No, I'm pretty comfortable here in this little place over here where I am, and that's why I don't want to grow in my knowledge of God. We need to be equipped. 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God and is useful, or in the old text, profitable. I like that profit. You're going to gain something from it. Profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Love those next two words. So that there's a result from all the Sunday school. There's a result from all the youth ministry. There's a result from all the counseling. There's a result from Awana. There's a result from all of the gaining and attaining knowledge of God's word. So that the man, woman, child of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's got work for us to do. He wants us to be equipped. Let's get to know his word better than we do. To be equipped. And then one more. Now, that doesn't mean I'm almost done because I'm still on part two. So one more in part two here. To ensure hope. Proverbs, way back here in Proverbs again, chapter 24. Verse 13 and 14. Now, I didn't put this verse in here for the reason that some of you think I did. Verse 13. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Okay, we got that out of the way. There's no honey to be had, so don't worry about that. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Okay, we all know honey is sweet. Verse 14, know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. In the same way that honey is sweet to the taste, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, knowing what's in God's word is sweet to the soul. If this Bible, if this Word of God is not sweet to your soul, you got a problem. You don't like the Bible. You don't want to hear the Bible. You're in trouble. Not with me. I'd love to help you. But if you don't want it, you got a problem. He says, if you find it, if you get to that place where the Word of God is sweet to your soul, oh, you have hope. Your hope is guaranteed. It will not be cut off. All right, so there's six good reasons why we should know God's Word, why we should want to know God's Word. So that we will avoid destruction, so that we will gain wisdom, so that our lives will be changed, so that we will grow in the Lord, so that we will be equipped for what he has for us, and so that our hope would be guaranteed. So there's only one question left. How? How do we do that? See, I love it when somebody says, well, I don't get it. I don't understand. How do you do that? How can I do that? Oh, man, you're in the right place now if that's where you want. You want to know how? Go back to fundamentals of the faith. Yeah, how many people still have a workbook that says fundamentals of the faith? Ooh. Even if it's dusty, put your hand up. It's all right. Okay. chapter 2, how to know the Word of God. How to know it. Remember that little diagram over there? It's got the Bible like this. It's got your hand, and your hand has five digits, four fingers, and a thumb, right? How to know the Bible. I could give you a quiz right now and say, what are the five things there? And many of you would pass it. I know this. All right, first of all, hear it. Hear it. Romans 10:14. If you still have your Bible open, we're going to go a little faster here. Maybe we won't. Romans 10:14. We know Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. And verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So, first thing, you got to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we're so blessed. We have so many ways of hearing God's Word today. I mean, if you've got one of these electronic Bibles, you can plug this thing in here and plug this thing in over here. You can listen to God's Word while you're riding your bike, while you're walking, while you're sleeping. Well, maybe not while you're sleeping. Okay, but you can hear God's Word anytime. We got radios, we got CDs, we got all kinds of stuff. We can hear, we got Bible sticks, and we can hear God's Word all of the time if we have a desire to. Acts 13, just another verse along with Romans 10:14. Back up a few pages to Acts chapter 13. Here in his first missionary journey, Paul is going around to different places and comes to a place called Antioch. There's a couple different Antiochs, but we're not going to get the map out here just now. This one is Pisidian Antioch. And he goes into where Paul always goes. He goes into the synagogue, the Jewish place of gathering, the synagogue. And he preaches. And pick it up with me in verse 42. Now, this whole, from verses 13 all the way down to 42, is the sermon that Paul preached to these people in a place called Pisidian Antioch. But verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. See, people wanted to hear the message. When the church gathers, now I'm not going to talk about our church because, you know, when the church gathers, do they gather to hear the word of God, or do they gather for some other reason? Do they gather because the music is just about the best in the whole New England area, or do they gather because this is good and the special music is always good, is wonderful, or do they gather, you know, because of the fellowship? Or do they gather because they have a coffee pot in the lobby? Do they gather, you know, or do they gather to hear the word of God? The church ought to come together to hear the word of God. And all of those other things are great too. Okay? So hear it. Okay, we got one finger around this word of God. We'll hear it. Now we're going to read it. We're in Acts. We can turn back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 26. Here's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. This man was a God-seeking, God was working in his life to the point where he was interested. He was a God-fearing man. He was there at the time of worship, and he was getting ready to go home, and he was reading the Word. That's the point here. We're not going to read the whole thing. Verse 30, Philip was instructed by the Holy Spirit to go and speak to this man. Verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture, and he reads the passage from Isaiah 53. The point is, here's a man who was in a position where he was interested. He wanted to know what God's Word said, so he was reading it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. I'm not going to turn there. It simply says, blessed is the one who reads this book. Blessed is the one who reads it. And blessed is the one who does what it says. So if we're going to know God's Word, we got to hear it. And we got to read it. And then we're going to study it. By now we have nearly memorized 2 Timothy 2:15. The only problem is we've memorized it in about four different translations. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It's the Iwana verse. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. Paul says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. In the King James, he says, study to show thyself approved. We are going to have to spend a little more effort, a little more work than just turning a radio on for half an hour once a day, or a little more work than just reading a few pages. We're going to have to get into it. We're going to have to spend some time in it. We're going to have to be diligent, one of the translations says. Be diligent, or do your best to show yourself approved before God. You want to be approved before God, or you want to hide in a corner? We want to be approved by God, one who doesn't need to be ashamed. I said before when we began, when we see him face to face, we're going to be just bursting with joy, or we're going to be ashamed. And the one who spends time studying God's Word so that he or she won't be ashamed is going to be the one that's bursting with joy. Hear it, read it, study it, meditate. Number four would be meditate on it. Now, that requires some alone time. That requires some quiet time. That requires getting away where we're just going to think deeply about what God's Word says. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Moses has died. God's putting Joshua in charge to lead these people into the promised land. And he says to him in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful. When we think of prosperity and success, we're thinking about money. God says, no, you're going to be prosperous and successful when you meditate on what God says. You won't let it depart from you. You'll meditate on it day and night. And then when you get over to Psalm 1, and verse 2, verse 1 says, blessed is he who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or sit in the seat of the scornful, or sit in the way of, you know what it says, don't walk, stand, or sit in the place of sinners. Don't hang out with them, don't sit with them, don't take counsel from them. But verse 2 says, instead, the man who's blessed meditates on God's word day and night. He meditates on it. That was a shameful thing to do, wasn't it? Try to quote that verse and say, you know what it was. Shame on me. Just trying to get things to a point here. Meditate on God's word. If we're going to know it, we're going to have to spend time in it. How many people like to play golf? Sweet. Let's play. How many times you played this year? Play every day? No. Me and you, Tom. What's important to us? To know this? Or to, you know, it's something different for all of us, isn't it? The things that compete for our time, our interests, our energy. It's incredible. All right. Hear it, read it, study it, meditate on it. Memorize it. Got to know it. What if you were lost on an island Or what if you were in a place where you couldn't get a copy of the Bible? You'd have to live out of what you know. You'd have to live out of what you had put in. Okay, here's your quiz for the morning. We're almost done here. Psalm 119, verse 9. A question and an answer. Let me hear the question. Excellent. I heard it. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer? Pretty good. By living according to your word. How can a young man or young woman, a boy or girl, a man or older woman, keep their way pure? By living according to God's word. And the psalmist goes on in verse 10 to say, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And then verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you are dragged into court tomorrow morning, charged of being a Christian, and they said, I want you to recite 5 verses for me. Have you hidden 5 verses in your heart? Do you know what God's word says? Or on the other hand, if you were without your Bible somewhere where somebody was about to die, whether they'd been in an automobile accident or whether they'd been in a hospital or whether they were just old and they were dying and they wanted to know, what does God's word say? Do you know? Do you know? The majority of Christians in America couldn't recite 3 Bible verses from memory. The average Christian doesn't know how many books are in the Bible. The average Christian doesn't know what the Bible says. Let's not be average Christians. Let's first of all have a desire. If the Christian life is knowing God, then this right here is how we're going to know Him. All the rest of it, whether it's CDs or whether it's fellowship or whether it's whatever it is, it's all help. It's all good. It's all part of the Christian life. But we got to know what God says. Let's commit this to Him. Our Father in heaven, forgive us for not holding your word in higher esteem in our hearts. Forgive us for caving in to all the distractions of the world. Lord, help us. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. Help us in our laziness. Help us in our excuses. That we would want to know you better. That we would pursue you more. That we would spend the time and the energy and even the money if we have it. To know you better. Lord, help us to be found faithful. We love you and we praise you and thank you every day for loving us, for sending Jesus. Help us to know Him better. We ask it in His name. Amen.